Welcome to Well Told Tales, the Pulp Fiction podcast. We've got a story that was written specially for Halloween, which is when we're recording this, so we'll get right to it. Just wanted to give one quick thanks to Jeremy from San Francisco, who recently donated to the podcast, and to everyone else who subscribes and listens and tells their friends about us. Happy Halloween.
Trick or Treat, written by Finn Colgan. Read by Christina Colligan. Trevor Lang's pulse throbbed in his ears. His knuckles grew white as his small fist squeezed the brown jumbo egg which had been festering in his bedroom closet for the past 3 weeks. "Do it," hissed Richie Cavelli. "Don't be a wuss." Trevor avoided the stares of his three friends. Sean had toilet-papered Old Man Lambert's house. Ted set a flaming bag of dog shit on the front porch of that bitchy old crossing guard. And Richie must have thrown a half a dozen eggs so far. It was Trevor's turn, plain and simple. Over the hedges and across the leaf-strewn lawn of Old Lady Savino, Trevor's target labored up an aluminum ladder. Treat Dawkins, the blubbering man-child who competed with middle schoolers in the grass-mowing, leaf-raking, snow-shoveling trades. The ladder moaned under Treat's massive girth, swaying ominously with each step. Despite the October chill, Treat had stripped out of his ratty flannel shirt. Rolls of fat strained against his sleeveless undershirt, which was damp with sweat and badly yellowed under each massive arm. "He looks like a candle," thought Trevor. "A giant melting candle." All the neighbor kids had known Treat since before they could remember. He had mowed most of their lawns or shoveled their driveways at least once. He'd helped clean out Trevor's garage after his father passed. Mothers always smiled at Treat and whispered to their children not to stare. Treat was simple, they said, but harmless. He meant well. Still, unconsciously, they pulled their babies closer whenever Treat lumbered by. The glare of his classmates was too strong to resist. Trevor stood, slowly, and stared at Treat with a mixture of revulsion, curiosity, pity. The big man scooped a handful of rotted leaves from the gutter and his shirt pulled free of his work pants, revealing the small rubber tube that sprouted from beneath one of the rolls on his side. "Look, I told you," cackled Ted. "That's what he pees out of." "What a freak," whispered Sean. Trevor was too far away to be certain, but he thought he saw a clear liquid dribble from the tube. "Get him," Richie demanded. "What are you waiting for?" Trevor froze. He couldn't. He wouldn't. Richie shook his head in disgust. "I knew you were a faggot," and stomped off with the rest of the eggs. Ted followed. Sean hesitated a moment. "Don't puss out, dude." Trevor grimaced, then cocked his arm and threw the egg as hard as he could. He missed, but just barely. The egg hit the gutter with a hollow pop and exploded like a grenade. Rancid yolk splattered Treat's face and hair. The man-child let out a startled shriek and jerked back. The rest happened in slow motion. As if in a dream, Trevor felt paralyzed, unable to turn away. The ladder tipped one way, then another. It seemed to steady. Then Treat kicked and the ladder fell, clattering noisily to the ground. Clumsily, desperately, Treat clawed the roof. He grabbed a hold of the gutter, which held for a heartbeat, before ripping free from the house as easily as a zipper. Treat hit the ground awkwardly with a thud and a slap. He didn't move. Before Trevor could run, the screen door of the house shot open. Mrs. Savino, in her customary house coat, saw Treat in the ladder on the ground, the gutter hanging like a limp banner. Sean ran off just as the old woman looked their way, her eyes locked with Trevor's. "You there! What did you do?" Trevor turned and ran. "I know you," the old lady screamed. "I know your mother." It wasn't even dark, but Trevor had lost his appetite for Halloween. Sean tried talking to him. Richie tried bullying, but it was no use. They'd spent weeks preparing for tonight, stockpiling eggs and shaving cream and toilet paper, making lists of slow-moving elders to torment. But now, one question kept echoing through Trevor's mind. What if he's dead? Trevor broke off from his gang and trudged home, trampling through the windswept waves of crumpled brown leaves, jamming his hands into his pockets as he shivered from the cold. All around, excited toddlers, costumed and jacked on sugar, walked hand in hand with their parents begging candy from strangers. The older kids would wait for dark, but not Trevor. With each passing block, his thoughts turned blacker. He envisioned Treat's funeral, a sensational trial. His mother's tear-streaked face on the front page of the newspapers. He was a good boy, she'd say, unable to believe what he'd done. Prison. Death row. By the time he reached his block, he was certain police cruisers would be waiting on his front lawn. He held his breath until his key slid into the lock of the back door. After a long pause, he pushed the door open, expecting a heavily armed SWAT team to swoop down on him. Treat didn't see stars, exactly, when he had hit the ground. Not like in the cartoons that Nana let him watch after lunch. More like a flash of light, or bright, spidery fireworks. He tried to breathe, and his chest refused to cooperate. A sharp pain bit into his side, and he looked down to see he had crimped the rubber tube spouting from his abdomen. He rolled slightly, and the tube unfolded with a thin whistle. Mrs. Savino was standing over him, looking old and scared. Treat felt bad for frightening her. "I'm A-okay," he croaked, and took a weak breath. But this seemed to frighten the woman even more. She scurried off, wringing her hands. Slowly, Treat's chest loosened. He took one deep breath, then another. After a third, he sat up. He hurt, but not so bad. He'd done far worse to himself in his sleep. After a few more breaths, he got to his feet, plodded to Mrs. Savino's door. She was talking excitedly on the phone, and gasped when she saw his hulking figure in the doorway. "You shouldn't be moving," she cried. "The ambulance is on the way." "No, ma'am, I'm A-okay." "That was a nasty fall," she hesitated. "I don't want to get sued here." "I'll come back to fix the gutter tomorrow." And then he was walking away. Mrs. Savino wrapped up her phone call, then ran to the door. "I'll call his mother," she shouted after Treat. "You better believe she'll get an earful." The phone was ringing when Treat shambled into the foyer of his grandmother's dilapidated Cape Cod. A small army of cats charged him, rubbing against his well-padded ankles. "I'll get it," he said. Nana, solving word puzzles on a TV game show, didn't hear him any more than she heard the telephone. "Mrs. Dawkins?" "It's Treat." "Oh, how are you feeling?"
"I'm fine, Mrs. Savino."
"I just wanted to tell your Nana."
"I'll tell her. Good night." He hung up while the old woman was still prattling on and walked into the living room. Nana looked up from her wheelchair, half startled, then smiled. A fair amount of her dinner was smeared across her face.
"Time for bed?" she asked cheerfully.
"Yes, Nana."
Trevor stared at his bedroom ceiling, unable to sleep, consumed with a sickening dread. There had been no police waiting to greet him, but he was certain they would come. His mother was home, but she had been passed out on the couch. Nothing out of the ordinary in that. Trevor had stubbed out her cigarette, poured the dregs of her schnapps down the sink, and gone to bed without undressing. For a long time, there was nothing but quiet. Then a slight knocking, which he mistook for his heartbeat. When it came again, louder this time, coming from the window, Trevor sat up. He half expected to see police preparing to barricade his only escape route. But it was his friend Sean, waving frantically. Reluctantly, Trevor slunk to the window and pushed it open. "I told you I don't wanna..." "Treat went home," said Sean, breathless.
"What?"
Hope flickered in Trevor's eyes. "You gotta see this. It's crazy." Rolls of flab tumbled free as Treat pulled off his filthy undershirt. The rubber tube from his side flicked back and forth excitedly, almost like a dog's tail. As he crouched to shed his work pants, his large, hairy breasts hung heavily.
"Look at those titties," Richie whispered to the other boys crouched outside Treat's window. Treat turned away, exposing a massive green and purple bruise that blossomed across his entire back, disappeared beneath his dingy boxer shorts, then crept down to the back of his knees. A wave of nausea passed through Trevor, but the bruise was only Treat's freshest injury. Scars and scrapes crisscrossed the fat man's body. The boys sat transfixed as Treat crossed the room and settled into a massive wooden chair with heavy leather straps. An electric chair, thought Trevor. He had been imagining himself in such a chair just an hour earlier. Here, Sean nudged Trevor and held out a cheap rubber mask. Trevor saw all his friends were wearing them. A ghoul, a vampire, a knockoff Frankenstein. Put it on, hissed Richie, lending menace to his Frankenstein. Trevor complied. Treat shifted uncomfortably against his unforgiving nightchair, struggling to find a position his aching body could tolerate. He winced as pain bit into his abdomen. The rubber tube from his side quivered excitedly, and a small blood bubble grew from its tip before gently popping. Easy now, baby brother, whispered Treat. After some more shifting, Treat called out loudly, Okay, Nana! He closed his eyes and listened for the telltale squeak of Nana's wheelchair. When he looked again, she was there, holding out one gnarled fist and a glass of cloudy tap water. Treat licked his lips, more anxious than usual for his night medicine. He greedily swallowed the pills and drained the glass with one long pull. Just as he finished, Nana whacked his side with an old hairbrush. You hush now, she scolded. The rubber tube twitched, then fell still. Treat handed back the drinking glass and slipped his hands through the night chair's wrist straps. Nana grabbed at a strap and yanked with all her might, leaning over in her wheelchair near the point of toppling, then slid the metal clasp through the strap. She repeated the process to bind his other arm. The leather cut deeply into Treat's flesh, and his hands turned milky white. But if it hurt, Treat didn't show it. His eyes drifted closed and his face went slack. His head lolled to the side, and Nana had to push it up to fit the straps. We should do something, whispered Trevor, his breath hot and moist inside his rubber mask. She's choking him. Richie whipped out a brown paper bag from his knapsack. I got something. No, Trevor reached out after him, but Richie was already gone. Ted and Sean raced after him. At the front door, Richie pulled out his Zippo lighter and put the tongue of flame to the paper sack. Once the bag was engulfed, he leaned on the doorbell. Sean ran around the corner and shouted at Trevor, Is she coming? In the bedroom, the old woman struggled to strap down Treat's legs. At the front door, Richie pulled out his Zippo lighter and put the tongue of flame to the paper sack. Once the bag was engulfed, he leaned on the doorbell. Sean ran around the corner and shouted at Trevor, Is she coming? In the bedroom, the old woman struggled to strap down Treat's legs, which were twitching as if he were dreaming. Trevor shook his head. At the front door, Richie pounded maniacally, cackling behind his mask. Inside, the old woman cocked her head to the noise, then rolled out to investigate. Trevor inched closer to the window, adjusting his mask's eye holes to watch as Treat went into some sort of epileptic seizure. His free legs kicked wildly and his blubbery chest heaved, sending ripples across his gelatinous gut. The tube from his side whipped in a frenzy. Suddenly, without warning, the tube slurped into Treat's body. A curtain of flab slowly rose and a veined, sickly tumor crowned wetly from behind folds on his side. Nana whipped the front door open and shrieked at the sight of the fire. Without thinking, she propelled her wheelchair forward with arthritic hands. One wheel rolled over the fire, spreading a track of steaming dog shit. A lick of flame jumped to her house coat, and the old woman panicked. She wrenched back both wheels, slammed into the door jamb, and spilled out of the chair. Richie laughed hysterically as flames crept up her house coat, singeing its layer of cat hair. Sean and Ted stared in horror. The old woman screamed, Treat! Trevor jumped at the shriek, but his eyes remained fixated on Treat. The fat man's limbs jerked violently as the tumor sprouted from his side like a malevolent mushroom. It twisted in Trevor's direction to reveal a small, deformed face. On either side of the misshapen head, and that's what it was, there was no doubt now. Two spindly claws emerged, followed by an emaciated pair of shoulders. Treat's eyes remained shut and his face passive as his body strained against the restraints. Asleep, thought Trevor. Asleep while this monster took control. Wood splintered and one of Treat's hands came free. It clawed blindly at the other restraints, and Trevor's bladder gave way. Help us, Sean howled at Richie as he and Ted struggled to right the old woman's wheelchair. Richie only laughed louder, pointing behind them. Sean ripped off his mask and screamed, Are you a fucking psycho? Just as Treat took a swing at the back of his head. The remnants of the nightchair were still strapped to Treat's forearm. The blow crushed bone on impact and drove Sean's head into the foyer's plaster wall, where it flattened with a soggy thump. Sean's body went limp. His head slid down the wall, snail-like, a trail of slime in its wake. No, Treat! Shrieked Nana. Bad boy! Ted leaped over the wheelchair, but Treat caught him by the scruff of his neck and hauled him back inside. He pulled the boy face to face with the creature sprouting from his side. Ted tried to scream, but the thick hands around his neck squeezed tight, allowing no air to escape. The horrible face of the monster chattered excited gibberish. As darkness crept into Ted's peripheral vision, the creature thrust a claw into his right eyeball. The last thing Ted knew was a pain unlike anything he had ever felt before. Leave him alone, shouted Trevor from just outside the door. Treat turned, eyes closed, his head lolling to one side. The growth from his side spotted Trevor, and Treat flung Ted's lifeless body aside. Treat, wake up, Nana pleaded from the floor. Look after baby brother. But Treat was already hurtling over the wheelchair. Trevor was shocked at how quickly the big man moved. He dove aside just before Treat could grab him, bolted down the stairs, and raced out into the street. Treat was right behind him, his powerful legs rubbing noisily together with every stride, his head rolling like a propeller. The streets were thick with costumed trick-or-treaters. Trevor pleaded desperately for help, but they just laughed and applauded, enjoying the show. Treat lunged forward and took a swat at Trevor. The boy bounced off a parked minivan, but somehow stayed on his feet. He ducked between two parked cars, jumped a fence, and began cutting through the lawns. Treat followed, but not as quickly. At last, Trevor reached his back door. He fumbled for the key in the weak light from a nearby street lamp. He looked around. He was alone. Safe, he had made it. The boy slid the key into the lock and realized he had been holding his breath. He exhaled heavily, just as his world grew dim. Reluctantly, Trevor looked up to see Treat's bulk eclipsing the street lamp. He jerked the key hard and snapped it off in the lock. He tried the doorknob. It was locked. Tears streamed down his face as he pulled at the knob, then slapped and kicked the door. Hideous creature stretched toward him, its face twisted in a sickening smile. One thin claw reached out, almost gently, straining toward Trevor's tear-filled eye. Trevor simpered and backed up as far as he could. He closed his eyes, fully aware that the skin of his eyelids would be no protection against the monster's claws. He felt a brush against his eyelid and then a familiar voice. Hey, freak show! Richie! Treat turned to face him and caught a rusty shovel in the face. Spittle and dental work showered the front stoop. Richie wound up again and swung hard. Trick or treat, mother! The shovel crushed Treat's nose, turning it into a geyser of blood. But the big man kept advancing. He seemed impervious to the blows, not even raising his hands to block the vicious headshots that Richie unleashed, one after the other after the other. Richie was backpedaling, and the yard was small. He quickly ran out of room, backing into a ramshackled shed. "Stay back!" Richie shouted, almost pleading, but Tree kept coming. Panicked, Richie turned the shovel sideways and took one last hack. The shovel cut a jagged path through Tree's throat. The big man's head flopped back like a grotesque Pez dispenser, and a fountain of blood shot into the air. But he still kept coming. Stunned, Richie held the shovel out in front of him and crouched down into a defensive position. Treat wrenched the shovel away, lifted it high above his head, and hammered down atop Richie's head. He did it again and again and again. He probably would have kept on pounding if the shovel's heavy wooden handle hadn't snapped in two. Trevor didn't realize he'd been screaming through the whole thing until he went silent when Treat turned to face him. As Treat lumbered forward, Trevor saw that Richie's head was buried between his shoulders up to his hairline. "Mom!" shrieked Trevor, and for once in his young life, she was there for him. The door jerked open behind him, and he fell back into the house. His mother, a cigarette dangling from between her lips, eyes clouded with alcohol, took aim with his late father's shotgun. "Get the hell away from my kid!" She fired, and Trevor thought for a moment he'd gone deaf. Treat stumbled backward, but quickly recovered. He was coming again. So Trevor's mom fired again, and again. Treat splayed out on the ground, twitching. Trevor's mother loped over to him, held the shotgun a foot from his belly, and fired one final round. She dropped her cigarette onto his exposed innards and turned back as it fizzled out. "Call the cops," she slurred. Trevor, who had been dreading the police just hours earlier, was overjoyed when the police cruisers swarmed their modest house. The police questioned his mother, who had downed a pot of coffee while waiting for them to respond. She was clearly inebriated, but this was just as clearly a case of self-defense. One look at Richie's corpse was enough to convince the police. A man with a camera took lots of pictures before the ambulance was allowed to cart off the bodies. Then one cop pointed out the thick streak of blood leading to the garage. Trevor and his mother watched from a safe distance as a crime scene investigator and a uniformed cop followed the streak to the car. Someone or something had crawled under it. "Get me some light in here," barked the investigator, and several flashlights flooded the undercarriage of the car with light. Beneath the car, curled into a fetal position, was a red, veiny, skeletal creature not much larger than a house cat. Its head looked vaguely human, but horribly deformed. Its hands were twisted into talons. The monster had a torso, but no legs, just a spinal column that trailed behind it like a long, twisted tail. "What the hell is it?" asked the cop. "Baby brother," answered Trevor, devoid of emotion. "Baby brother."
That's our story. Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to our podcast feed at WellToldTales.com. And if you'd like to support Well Told Tales, please consider making a small donation via the PayPal link on our website. Our audio files are distributed on a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives, 2.5 license. So feel free to share the files. Just don't edit them, and don't try to make a buck off them. Catch you next time.